Can we turn, please, to Hebrews and chapter 11? This is the fourth message from this chapter in just a few weeks. But we trust the Lord will speak again to us through it. Father, we would just bless you and worship you for such a great God as you are. And we are just humbled as we look upon your awesomeness, your greatness, and we would just bless you today for all that you are, for all that you have done for us. Yet we know you want to lead us on into new paths, into depths of an experience of you, into greater acts of faith. And so we would just humble ourselves again and pray that you'd speak into our situation. Speak in such a powerful way that we can do nothing but respond to you in your love and your faithfulness and your mercy. So Lord, we pray you would speak now in a powerful way and lead us just to where we need to be. Give us the words that we need to hear, our God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to read from verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Amen. I want us to consider afresh the subject of faith this morning. Now, something that you see in this passage as you go through, as part of faith, is something which we might call divine optimism or a holy optimism. There is something continually positive about the attitudes of these men of faith, these men of God. Now, we may look at the world, and the world talks about positive thinking, and even they have seen just the faintest glimmer of what we're talking about here. But we're not talking about positive thinking, which is of the world, which the world seeks to use in order to solve their problems, because it's not based on anything. Their positive thinking is basically based on themselves, that if they think positively, that will give them enough confidence to carry on through. But as we think about the men of faith, they thought positively because their faith was based on God and upon whom God was. And so as people of God, we don't take away the positive attitude, the optimism, but we have that optimism and it's based on the character of God. It's based on the promises of God. And whatever our situation, we can have a divine optimism within our hearts based on the one who is the captain of our salvation, who leads the way, the one who is victorious, the one who is described as a conquering king. And we follow him. And so as we look through these men of God, we see that it was a positive, optimistic attitude based upon whom God is that carried them through, whether it was a long period of difficulty or something that they had to patiently do in serving the Lord. There was an optimism there. And I believe this morning, as we are the people of God, there must be that optimism in us. There must be an optimism that rises from our hearts, that the world looking on should say, why are they so optimistic? Why are they? Why in whatever circumstances do they rise above it? And they see there must be something that we're not basing it upon ourselves, as the world does in their positive thinking, but we're basing it upon our God. So just looking at this verse, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In the preceding verses, which we didn't actually read, there is this sense of optimism. Even in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Wonderful verse that says, beyond what we see, there is something more, that there was a God who created by speaking. It speaks about the power of God. And it seems to me the idea of evolution is a depressing one, that this is all there is. This is all there ever has been. It just keeps changing. But no, there's that optimism that says that there is a God who spoke and it was created. But in verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So there is the faith that's based upon who God is. We're resting in who God is. So that's the first thing that we've got to get. We're trusting in God, the promise, his promises. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. We're trusting him, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he's a rewarder. There we have this positive element, that he is a God who is good, who wants to do us good, who is looking over our lives and wants to bring good things into our lives. And then you also have the element of what we do, them that diligently seek him. So you have this whole group of things together, that we base our everything on faith in God. We're trusting in God. This leads us to a positive attitude, knowing God is going to do us good. And that is the thing that enables us to get through whatever we need to get through, whether it's patiently serving the Lord, whether it's through a time of difficulty, looking up and having this optimism, this joy before us, that God is going to work things out for good. Hallelujah. And so we look at Noah. Now, Noah is given such a difficult commission, isn't he? That he, in the middle of a dry place, has got to build some kind of boat, an ark. And this seems very much a work of one man. We may say that he labours for 100 years, if that's how you read the time scale, labouring for 100 years for something that seems absolutely pointless to everybody looking on. Here he is going out day after day and never had rain before, no sign of water. And imagine the people looking on and saying, how foolish are you? And Noah just keeps at it. And, you know, anything could have brought discouragement to that man. And yet he is faithful and just keeps on going, and he keeps going, basing it on God, basing it on what God has said, and labours for perhaps 100 years to build a boat. And yet, that was for the salvation of his family and the human race. And God had this tremendous purpose. And yet, in the midst of this long, long period of labour and long, long period of difficulty, he has, as it were, this divine optimism, this faith in God, who God is, that this is somehow all going to be worthwhile. And I may feel a bit stupid at the moment doing this. It may be difficult. Yet God is faithful, and I'm basing it on the fact that God is doing something worthwhile. And even though I can't see the fullness of it now, yet God is faithful. And if we can start to see the character of God, that he is faithful, that he is good, then that is what one of the things, and the chief thing that is going to carry us through any time of difficulty. Remember, Daniel says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. It was because Daniel knew his God. He knew the character of God. He knew God was faithful. He knew God was good. And that was the thing that was going to carry him through whatever. If he was in the den of lions, if he was, you know, if all the wise men had their lives threatened, he knew that God would get him through based upon not himself, but upon whom God is. Abraham, similarly. We remember Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees, and he might have been relatively happy. Things might have been prospering there for him. God lays his hand on his life and says, I want you to go forward. I want you to leave Ur and go forward to a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that I have prepared for you. Now, Abraham could have thought about life in Ur and said, well, this is pretty good, you know, this is all right, I've got my family here, and, you know, things have been ticking along nicely. But when God called him and said, go forward, he lifted up his eye and said, well, this might be good, but surely God has got something better for me. And he had this sense of, again, of divine optimism, holy optimism, which says, yes, if God has spoken it, well, God is this God who's just revealing himself to me. He's faithful. He's good. I can see his character. And it was that that led him to go forward amidst what there might have been discouragements. And certainly as he made his mistakes along the way, there were things that might have caused him to doubt and be discouraged. Yet because he was trusting the Lord, he had this optimism that things would go well. And so through him, all nations of the world would be blessed. And so we have this tremendous thing working out. He didn't see it all. He couldn't see it all. And he didn't see it all in his day, as it says here. Yet he based it that God, who had spoken this, was faithful and would carry him through to where he needed to be. And so in a sense, whenever we are in this position where we don't quite know what's going on, yet we perhaps sense the guidance of the Lord, we have to trust the Lord and put our hand in his hand and say, well, there's nothing more I can do, but you can lead me through to where I need to be. And I know that you are good. I know that you are faithful. So I know somehow this is going to work out for good. And we may be in that position where we need to move on. We're coming from a place to where we have been into a new place. And in that position, we may be seeking to hold on to the past. We may have concerns about the future and wondering what the future holds. But we need to be in a people who can approach the future with optimism, that if we're going into a new situation, we need to be able to approach that with optimism. And if that is where the Lord is leading, we need to be able to say that this is going to be better than it was. God is going to lead me into something positive. He's going to lead me to green pastures. He's going to lead me beside still waters. And continuing with these men of faith. Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So we see a man in a time of trial, in a time of testing, he has this positive attitude that somehow God would bring good out of it. And he thinks God is going to raise him from the dead. In actual fact, as we know, he substitutes a ram for Isaac. But there is a positive attitude, and he doesn't know what's going on, yet he says God is faithful and God is good. And somehow is going to work out for good. And he said, I can't quite understand it at the moment, why God would cause me, would ask me to offer up my son. But God has, this is the child of promise. This is the child of promise. And I know, therefore, that something good, that God has a plan and God will work something good out of it. We look at Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, I don't know if you've ever read this passage and quite wondered where this great element of faith was in both Isaac and Jacob. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Again, it's this attitude of something positive for the future. You see, as the patriarchs laid their hands on the future generation, as they did that, they were seeing something positive, thinking of something positive based upon the character, the nature of God, and seeing even after they were dead, there was going to be something positive coming through in later generations, based upon the goodness of God. And this, as we see, is such an important hallmark of a man of faith, that there must be this positive attitude that rises up within their hearts because of the goodness of God. And I wonder this morning, do we have this positive attitude, no matter what our circumstances, knowing that God is going to do good? We see Moses in his circumstance and willing to leave where he is in Pharaoh's palace to go out and serve the Lord. Again, not seeing the fullness of what's going to happen, but having a positive attitude that God is going to do good, that God is going to do mighty things. Now, I wonder whether this is something that can be seen in every aspect of our Christian lives, that whatever we're going through, there is a positive attitude coming through us. Later on in the chapter, you have the hard things that people go through. You have good things, and then you have the hard things. Now it speaks of verse 35. It says, women received their dead raised to life again. And then it says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now, again, these men had, and women had, very difficult times that they were going through. Yet, what was the thing that carried them through? It must again have been this divine optimism, this looking ahead, that whatever they were going through at that moment, that it was somehow going to work out for good, that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. And they, in the middle of their difficult situation, could have looked at their situation and seen the difficulty, seen the suffering that they were going through, the scourgings, the stonings, and so forth. But the mark of these being men of faith was they looked beyond that and had this optimism that somehow God was going to work this out for good in their lives. And it was that caused them to be a testimony to other people, a testimony to other generations. Someone who doesn't have this optimism is going to crumble and can never be that testimony to future generations. But the person who believes in God for good will get through the difficult time, and they will therefore be a testimony to others. And sometimes we fail to see that when we're going through a difficulty, that God is trying to cause us to be a testimony, trying to raise us up as a testimony for other people to be able to look back and say, that person went through the most horrendous time, and yet in the midst of it, they were praising God. And now as I am going through a trial and I look back at the man of faith going through the trial, I can receive faith, I can receive encouragement because someone else has gone through it. Someone else has got through it, and they trusted God in the midst of the situation, and God brought them through, and they bore that tremendous testimony to the faithfulness of God. I wonder today, in our day, are we willing to be those men of faith who are willing to get through a trial, get through a difficulty, that future generations can look back and say, yes, they went through the most horrendous time, and God got them through, God brought them through, and today in my time of difficulty, I can get through as well, by the grace of God, because God is faithful. Hallelujah. We may think of Latimer and Ridley. Do you remember they were burnt at the stake in Oxford? And as Protestant martyrs, and as they are there burning at the stake, Latimer says to Ridley, play the man, Master Ridley, play the man, for we shall today light a candle in England by God's grace that will never go out. And in the midst of that situation where they were burning because of their faith in God in that place of torment, Latimer says, something good is going to come out of this. This is a horrendous time of difficulty. But people in the future generations can look back and see that we were willing to suffer for the Lord, that we had this faith, and they will perhaps have faith rising in their hearts. Their hearts will be encouraged that because we went through this, they can go through their time of difficulty. Hallelujah. And we may say that that candle that they lit hasn't gone out. We're still talking about them. They're still, as people talk about Protestantism, they are still a source of encouragement, and may that continue. I wonder today, are we a people who are willing to lay hold of the promises of God? Because as we see these men of faith, what they did continually was to lay hold of the promises of God. Abraham, when he was offering up Isaac, he that had received the promises, it was based upon the promises of God. And in our time of difficulty, our time of trial, it has to be based not upon who we are, but it has to be based upon the promises of God, the one who says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And it's these promises that will carry us through. I wonder today, in the midst of our situation, can we lift up our eyes to the Lord? Can we lift up our eyes to the Lord? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And that is where we have to lift our eyes in our circumstances, in good circumstances, in bad circumstances, in the time of trial, in the time of weariness, when we are just maybe serving the Lord like Noah did and just having to battle through day after day, and maybe nothing seems to be happening. Noah, no sign of rain for 100 years, and he kept going. And I wonder, in whatever our circumstances, can we just lift up our eyes to the Lord and see the one who has promised, and that the one who has promised is faithful. And whatever he's called us to go through, and what we're going through, God has called us to go through that. Whatever God has called us to go through, he will carry us through to where we need to be. At the start of chapter 12, of course, you have the Lord Jesus given as our example. And it says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. It's that keeping going through the midst of the difficulty, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord Jesus, even going to the cross, could look beyond that again with this divine optimism and saying that though this is a time of difficulty, though this is a terrible time of suffering, yet such good is going to come through this. I'm redeeming a people to the Father through what I'm doing here, a people who will be saved for all eternity, a people who can never be lost. And through this, it's all going to be worthwhile for the joy that was set before him. And somehow, in our circumstances, good is going to come. And Jesus knew at the cross that good was going to come. And it was that that carried him through there, through that experience, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He came through the time of difficulty. He came through the time of crisis, of suffering, and is now entered into his rest and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. I wonder, are we going to trust God this morning to carry us through our difficulty, to carry us through whatever circumstances life has brought us, knowing that God is faithful? God is the one who has made so many promises. This book is full of promises, isn't it? Of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness. And will we today just look to the Lord and see he is full of these promises? His character is overflowing with goodness. His character is overflowing with love. And we'll say that he is the one who is faithful. And whatever our circumstances, God will get us through. And one day, just as Jesus is set down at the right hand of the Father, and he can look back from a place of joy, in a sense, what he went through, one day we will be able to look back at whatever we've gone through, whatever difficulties, whatever patient enduring we've gone through, from a place where we are at rest and just full of joy and everything is at ease, and say, I went through that. God got me through that. Hallelujah. Though it was difficult at the time, yet God was faithful right in the midst of the fiery furnace. Hallelujah. And perhaps then we can be a testimony to others, and they can look at our lives and say, yes, that was a man of faith. That was a woman of faith. Because whatever they were going through, they simply trusted God. And God got them through. Hallelujah. We can put our hand in the hand of God, and he will lead us through trials, through difficulties, things that will perfect us, things that will change us. But ultimately, he will get us through to the destination where we need to be. And in that place, God will receive all the glory for carrying us through. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah. We thank you, O God, that you are a God who is abundantly faithful, that you never change, that you do allow us to walk through times of difficulty and times of testing and times of hardship, yet we know that you will carry us through, and that we can be a testimony to your faithfulness, to your goodness, and show your character through patiently enduring. Lord, we do pray for grace in our circumstances today. Lord, as Latimer and Ridley must have needed so much grace to get through that situation, Lord, we also need grace to get through our situation today, even if it's just to stay faithful in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Lord, we pray for that grace even today. Lord, as those great men of faith patiently endured, we pray that we also would patiently endure, that we would just step forward into whatever you have in store for us. Lord, whether it be a fiery furnace, whether it be a den of lions, whether it be a time of difficulty, a time of just staying steadfast in the midst of difficulty, we pray, Lord, that you would keep hold of us and get us through to where we need to be. We would say, oh God, today that it's all of your grace, it's all of your mercy that we get through. It was of your mercy that you saved us, and we know that you who have begun a good work in us will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all your faithfulness. Lord, lift us up now, we pray. Get hold of our hearts. Lord, if we are wandering in any way, bring us back. Oh Lord, stir within us a spirit of praise that we might worship you with all of our hearts in the midst of a difficult situation, yet that we might bring praise and honor to you, our God, because we have counted and found you faithful and worthy time after time. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christian optimism based on the character of God. The hymn that's come to my mind to close in is number 99 of Psalm 23, very familiar to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me down to lie. The pasture is green, he leadeth me the quiet waters by. And the final one, goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me. In God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be. Number 99.